Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to John chapter 15, verse 7. Natalie. And Lord, we thank you for this day once again, Lord. Thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way as we try our best to navigate through a dark, dying, fallen, decaying world. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the light of your word. Thank you, Lord, that you are light, you are love, you are bread, you are the vine, you are the breath of life. We thank you for that. Thank you for giving us life and life more abundantly, that we can truly live and not just exist here. And when we transition, we bless you for that. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One other announcement for those of you that need your statement for your end of the year giving. Of course, we know that's not why we give, but it is a tax write-off. So for those of you that would need your statement for the end of the year, see Sister Yvonne. And she'll have that for you. Amen. And thank you all so much for the calls, the text messages, the Facebook shout outs for my birthday. I truly appreciate it. No, I'm not registered at Bed Bath and Beyond, John. Yes, it's Target. Okay. But thank you all so much. Zodis, yeah. That's old school for us. Tom McCann. Kenny Shoes. For those of us that have taken the challenge to fast and pray each morning, just want to encourage you to continue. Keep it up. Let's just go every day in momentum through the ups and the downs and the highs and the lows of life that come. We still have to be diligent, trust God, and walk with God. And let's allow everything to push us closer to God and not take us further away from God. Amen. So remember, the Proverbs have replaced the horoscope, the fortune cookie, and the lottery tickets. Amen. And you know, with it being your birthday, people want to ask you what sign you are. I'm like, I don't play that. I don't trust the stars. I trust the one who created the stars. Why would I settle for a star when I can trust the one who created the stars? So don't let people put that stuff on you. It's just another way to witness to someone that you really believe in God. So we talked a little bit last week in John 15 about Jesus being the vine and we're the branches. So we should be connected to Jesus Christ. In verse 1, let me just look at verse 1. What did it say? I think it set the tone for us. 15:1 says, I am the true vine. Jesus said, I'm the genuine, I'm the authentic vine. And my Father, which is God the Father, is the master of the house. So Jesus is divine. God is the master. Tells us that we should bear fruit. So we went through some scriptures. I think we got to verse 7. So let's look at verse 7. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Jesus said, stay connected to me. Ask me and I'll do it. And we talked about it last week, that when you get to a certain maturity level in Christ, that your desires and your wants, they change. Amen. And so that's why you could ask what you will and it'll be done for you. We're not talking about stuff. And so, you know, I've done a lot of thinking these last few days with having a birthday. And the two things my mom told me, she said, turning 53. Amen. She said, for those of us that's been there, we know that's not old. I said, thank you, Mom. And she'll turn 80 this year. And she said, son, if I would have known I would have lasted this long, I would have took better care of myself. Mom, I get it. Amen. Amen. So here we go. So I'm doing all this contemplating, and we think that we're actually growing up. But I guess we reach a point, I don't know, because it all depends on when we leave here. And since we don't know that day, we're not really growing up. We're actually counting down. From the minute that baby's born, I think I said it before, the time starts of them counting down to leave. So let's look at it like this. If it's a hill, like if we're illustrating a hill and we're growing up, somewhere we reach the halfway point and then we start counting down. We don't know when that is. Only God knows that. So that's why it's important to stay connected to God. So at 53, I don't know if I'll make it to what's that? Oh, no, I know them. Half of that is 106. So I'm probably on the other side of the mountain, so to speak. Amen. Amen. Probably on. But you never know. And you don't know where that is. So as I'm thinking and your priorities are shifting, and Jesus saying is I abide in, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, and you ask what you will. And so that's why when we're asking now, we're not asking for stuff. I'm asking for for my kids to be saved. And then Jesus said, OK, I can do that. For my coworkers to be saved, for my parent, my mom and my siblings, I'm praying for them that they would rededicate. We're praying for rededication and salvation and justification and sanctification. We're praying for all that. And God says, that's what I want, too. So your desires and your wants change. That's why God said he can do it. We're not praying for stuff. Maybe a few years ago, we would have, but we know that stuff isn't what it's about now. So I was thinking as you go up and down the mountain, the other side, most of us might be on the backside, but then you don't know. I had a friend when I was in college, I played ball. You know, I used to think I was something back in the day. I used to. Not anymore, Kathy. I know better now, Kathy, all right? It's only by the grace of God I am what I am, as Paul would say. But I played ball with a guy named Hank Gathers. Yeah, most of especially the guys would know, the older guys and out at LMU. Hank Gathers, only one of two people that led the nation in scoring and rebounding as a college Division I college ball player. I think the other one was maybe Wilt Chamberlain or something like that. Just kind of looked it up, and so I could see how old Hank was when he passed away, because Hank caught an alley-oop, had a heart attack, and died on the court at 23. He would have been the number one draft pick in the NBA in 1990. My buddy, my best friend, one of my good friends, Hank was the first one on the track. He was the last one to leave. The first one in the weight room, the first one at practice. He didn't smoke, he didn't drink, he didn't do drugs. He passed away at 23. So when he was going up on, and see, we're not good at math, so I'm going to get y'all right now. So when he reached the top of his mountain, if you do half of his life to the other side, how old was he? Oh, Big C, we're getting better. What do you say, Big C? That's a great helpmeet. Amen. A suitable helpmeet. He's 11.5. So when he was 11 years old, he had no idea, getting ready to turn 12, that at 23 he would be gone. That's cold. And since we don't know, that's why God says, when you abide in me and I abide in you, ask what you will, it should be done unto you. Look at verse 8. And Jesus, in verse 8, he talks about how to put a smile on God's face. Since we are here, since we're living for God, let's put a smile on God's face. We don't know when that day or that time will come, but we know we'll transition and we will see him face to face. We'll be like him. That's why we got to stay connected in 2017. Stay connected to the vine, which is Jesus Christ, because we are just the branches. He told us, and let's just look back before we go to 8, look at verse 5. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And then here's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. For without me, you can do nothing. Disconnected from God, we can't do nothing. And disconnected from God, anything that we would want to do would turn out to be nothing. Let me say that again. Apart from God, we can do nothing meaningful in life. And even if we think it's meaningful, apart from God, it would turn out to be nothing. It's funny how a birthday makes you reflect. I remember in the early 80s when I was in the music industry and we thought we were something and we're selling records and doing this, and it was nothing. You see how the world just sells us a bill of goods that's a lie. We'll get to that later in the message, but you just realize that you get to a certain age, and I'm praying for our youth now that they don't have to make some of the same mistakes that we made, although they will have to make their own, because they'll have to have their own relationship with Jesus Christ that has to be real based upon their life. And that's just the way it goes. If God took care of us, he can certainly take care of them. Somebody say amen. As crazy as we were and misguided, if God watched out for us, I trust and I know that he'll watch out for them. But we're just praying they don't have to hit their head too hard on that wall. All right, here's verse 8. It says, if you want to put a smile on God's face, herein is my Father glorified, that you produce much fruit, or that you produce much progress. Much progress, and so you should be my disciples. Much progress in reaching others for Jesus Christ. Sharing the good news of the gospel with others. That's what God wants us to do. So look, young and old, you don't ever have to worry about what is my purpose in life. It's already been answered. God wants you to produce progress and share his good news with others. That's the purpose. Now, you might have to ask God, what is my method? What is the best way for me to do that? But everybody has a purpose. Every Christian has a purpose, and it's to produce fruit. Fruit is progress, metaphorically speaking. Everything we do, every encounter, every conversation, it is a tough one. Somewhere it should be mixed in the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ. Even if it's just a subtle word that, you know, as you're having a conversation, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, so I trust God for everything. It could be as subtle as that on your job. But you got to put it in there as this world is falling apart. So here we go, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. So it's a love fest. It's a love triangle between us and God and Jesus and then each other. And that word is agape. So he says, the Father loves me unconditionally. I love you unconditionally. Continue to love others unconditionally, no strings attached. With all our flaws, our issues, our hang-ups, God said to love them. Let me say that again. With all our flaws, our issues, and our hang-ups, God said love them. And Jesus is our standard. For those of you making a note, write the standard. Because Jesus says, the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. So Jesus Christ is our standard, not the world, not others. You don't know what they did to me. Man, if they did that to me, I would. But see, that other person is not your standard. Jesus Christ is your standard. So you got to love them. Doesn't mean you're going to be buddy-buddy and hanging out with them, but it means that you don't hate them in your heart. It means that you have forgiven them. It means that you hold no ill will against them. Doesn't mean you're going to go to business with them and go to lunch and brunch with them, but you're not going to cringe and you're not going to gossip and tell, hey, you know what they did to me, and that's not love. And if you need a refresher, which we studied and meditated on last year, was 1 Corinthians 13, the entire chapter on what real love is and what it's not. So take a look at that. Here's Jesus in verse 10. He says, if you keep my commandments, if you guard my commandments, if you guard my prescription, that's what the Greek says in the Greek translation. If you guard my prescription, you shall abide in my love. So by keeping God's word, and abide means to rest. It means to live. It means to dwell. It means to remain. It means to stay and to bask. Bask in God's love. You keep my commandments, you shall bask in my love. You shall remain in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandment, and I'm abiding, I'm basking, I'm remaining, I'm chilling in God's love. Tell somebody to chill in God's love. Just stay there. Why would you want to leave there anyway? As great as that love is, why would we leave the true love for the counterfeit? And I do understand the world paints a beautiful picture from time to time. But Jesus is saying it's all connected. Stay connected to me. That's what Jesus is saying. Throughout 2017, don't go away. Stay connected to me. Stay in my love. Stay in the Father's love. Love the people around you. Pray for them. Bless them. Share the good news of Jesus Christ with them. Remember, family, we don't save anyone. The Bible says that one man plants, another person waters, and God gives the increase. All we're doing is planting and watering, just like a gardener. Or as John would say, a branch manager. That's all we're doing. Look at verse 10 again. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment, and I abide in his love. It's the Trinity right there. Jesus is talking about a direct connection. He's also talking about a direct reflection. All right, let me put it this way. People shouldn't have to wonder what God looks like. People shouldn't have to wonder what God's love feels like. When they encounter us, they should feel the love of God. People shouldn't have to, I wonder what is God like? By us loving and forgiving and caring and helping and supporting and sharing the good news, they should know the attributes, the character of God. We should have a direct connection, which should lead to a direct reflection of God. Verse 11, these things. These things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain. Underline might remain. Joy being the calm delight. Amen. Jesus is saying, I'm speaking these things to you that my joy might remain with you. And that your joy might be complete. So we've had the conversation, if you can lose your salvation, we know we can't lose our salvation. But according to this, you could possibly lose your joy.
Yes.
If you're not connected to the vine and to the root, which is God, he's saying, these things have I spoken. I'm trying to tell you that your joy, that your calm delight. So regardless of what you go through, you're calm and you're delighting in God. He said, I'm telling you these things. So when it gets tough, when it gets rough, when it's falling apart, when the election doesn't go your way, when you get fired, when you get that pink slip, when whatever it is, you know that you trust God and that your joy might remain. We're not falling apart like other people. What are we going to do? I'm staying close to the vine and the root. That's what I'm doing. That's where my trust is. Are you kidding me? My trust was never in the president, regardless of who he was or what color he was. That was not where my trust was. Please share that with someone. Please don't let them throw the world on you as if the world is your hope. What are we going to do? I don't know what you're going to do. I'm going to keep trusting God, which is what I've always been doing.
Yes.
And those of us that have been young and now we're old, we've never seen the righteous forsaken our seed begging bread. Tell them. And some people have been through worse, but I've been through Nixon and Ford and Reagan and Carter and Bush and all that kind of stuff. Why am I going to start worrying now? Please share with someone. Please share this scripture with someone. And then for you, he's saying, I've spoken these things unto you that your joy might. Don't lose your joy behind this stuff. Don't lose it behind your job, behind deadbeat relationships. Don't lose your joy. Stay connected to the vine and the root. And the word says that your joy might be complete. He's saying in Christ, you're already complete. Some people say, you know, I can't wait to get married. I'm going to finally be complete. He said, you're already complete. Then somebody else say, I can't wait till I get divorced. I'm going to finally be complete. And somebody thinks, when I get my business, when I get my job, when I get my ministry, when I get my house, when I get my car, I'll be complete. He said, right here. And see, none of that stuff is going to bring you joy. It's not going to give you that calm delight that you know is going to be okay, it's going to be all right, and it's all good. It's only when you're connected to God, when everything else is falling apart, you just go, I'm good. God, I'm going to stay close to you just like what I've been doing. Remember, we're the only Bible that some people will read. If we're falling apart. Family, I'm just amazed. I'm getting, you know, you get these Facebook messages and all that. And they telling you don't watch the inauguration. Let the ratings be low. Post this face on it. Let's everybody. Man, I'm not doing that stuff. I could care less. I'll be reading my word. I'll be going out with my wife. Be watching Golden State or something like that. And I'm worried about that. I mean, that's foolishness. What is that going to do? And it wouldn't be so bad if it wasn't Christian people getting caught up in this stuff. I was in ministry with you and you tell me to do what? Why would I waste my time? How about send out a scripture? That all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. That if God be for us, who can be against us? How about we send out something like that? Yeah. Yeah. Waste my time with that other foolishness. So here we go. Let's look at the game changer, which is verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. That changed the game, Pastor Manny. Because if he would have said, love others only when they're lovable, I'm good. I could do that. But when Jesus said, you got to love people the way that I loved you. And then you got to look at, well, what did Jesus do then? Yes. He died for our sins. He went to the cross. He got beat. They spit on him. He resurrected that third day. He said seven things when he was on the cross. The first thing he said is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He forgave all those that butchered him pretty much. If you've seen the Passion of Christ, they say it was worse than that. Oh, and they butchered him. And so he's saying, that's the way you got to love others. When they butcher you, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm not going to hold a grudge against anybody. I'm not going to have any hate in my heart for anybody. Like I said, I don't mean you going out to lunch and we're going to be hanging out. But I'm not saying not be a doormat, not let them step. You know, you got to separate yourself from certain people. And that's what he's saying. You got to be connected to the vine and the root. So separate yourself, but even separating from people that mean you no good, you don't hate them. And that word is agape, which means you still love them unconditionally. That's the way God loves us. Let's keep going. As our time is winding down, I just noticed that we got to put a battery in that clock because it's a little slow. Amen. What time is it? Give me a time check. 27. Okay, we got 30 minutes. All right, let's go. Verse 13, it says, greater love is nothing greater, no greater love no man has than this, that a man, that's talking mankind, lay down his life for his friends. Underline friends. Verse 14, he says, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So that is one of those conditional covenants where he says, keep my commandments and show me that you're my friend. We know friends don't stab each other in the back or in the front. They don't lie on each other. They don't bear false witness. They don't defraud one another. They don't try and hurt one another. Jesus saying, if you do what I ask you to do, you're my friend. Same thing he said, if you love me, you keep my commandment. A friend, that's how you show your love. It's called loyalty. To an extent, it's called obedience to God. I love you, God, so I do what you say. And then verse 15, and I guess we'll stop it right here. Or maybe not. Maybe we'll do a little bit more. But look at verse 15. He said, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known to you. So make a note, friends are transparent. Jesus said, I didn't keep any secrets from you. You're really my friend because I told you everything that the Father's told me to tell you. There's no secrets. There's transparency. That's what we try and get across. I know Pastor Manny with the men's fellowship on the second Saturday of each month. For us to become friends as men and to know each other, it's no secrets. I mean, you and I, we don't want to know all your business. But we know that we're transparent and we're real with each other. But the other thing that comes with being friends is being vulnerable. Because once I tell you, and then you get upset with me and you use it against me, see, a friend wouldn't do that. And Jesus just put it out there. Jesus said, look, I've told y'all everything. So I'm making myself vulnerable and I'm making myself transparent. You know everything about me. You know everything you need to know so you can do what I've called you to do. Young ladies and young men, as you're dating, we talk about just starting off as friends. Because you don't know someone and you're being transparent and vulnerable. And next thing you know, it's posted all over Snapchat and Instagram and whatever else y'all listen and do, and YouTube and all that other kind of stuff. Friendship does require wisdom. But it's transparent and vulnerability. For those of us that are married, we know that's the key to it. You got to be vulnerable and you got to be transparent so you can have a true, intimate relationship where you know the heart of your spouse and the spouse knows your heart. For those of you that desire to be married one day, you want to be friends, and you got to start by being transparent and vulnerable at some point. Not on the first date. Somebody say amen. Verse 15. Henceforth have I called you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I've called you friends. For all things I have heard of my Father I have made known to you. Then verse 16. We will stop right here. And this will pick up next week. He says, you have not chosen me. Isn't that something? We didn't even choose God. We didn't even choose to be saved. Number one, we ran from God. We didn't want to be saved. Okay, let me make it personal. I ran from God. I didn't want to be saved. I didn't want to hear nothing about it. I was talking to my mom yesterday, and she was telling me, I told y'all the story how my birth date should have been February 14th. But it's January 14th because my mom is out riding a bike at 8 months pregnant. And somebody was premature. So she was telling me yesterday, she said, son, you know, you're a miracle baby, number one. And she said, son, you know, we didn't even grow up going to church. And you became a man of God. She said, that is so remarkable. That is a miracle of God. And to think, see, to think that I chose God, I didn't. It wasn't even in the cards for me to choose God. It was the furthest thing away from my upbringing to choose God. That's why Jesus makes it plain. You have to ask yourself, you got to examine your heart of hearts. Did God really choose me? Am I seeking after God? Am I running away from God? Man, this is a special, and this word chosen means to be selected, to be elected. It's a privilege to serve God. We can't even take credit for saying, you know, I'm the pastor, praise the Lord, I chose God. That's not even true. Jesus said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. And I appointed you that you should go, underline go. He didn't say that you should bring people to church. He said that you should go forth. It's nice to bring people to church, but outside of church, we're going forward, making progress, sharing the good news of the gospel. Church is a great place to be, but Jesus said that we should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. So that once they come to church, then we start discipling them. And we invite them to lunch, and we invite them to breakfast, and we have the men's fellowships, and we stop by their house, and we might call them. That's the goal, that the fruit might remain. And then he repeats it again. He says, and that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. And that's been taken out of context. Even in the church, it's infiltrated the church. That you would assume someone is blessed by what they have and what they look like. Furthest thing from the truth. It's not what it's saying here. I can tell you blessed, brother. Look at all the stuff that God's given you. That's not even, it's not what this is saying. This is not Aladdin with the genie in the bottle. Amen. We're watching that. Didn't know you could get a revelation from Aladdin. We're watching Aladdin over the Christmas break. And the genie said he's tired. Every time somebody rubs a bottle, he got to jump out and go, poof, what do you need? Poof, what do you need? Poof, what do you need? And people come to church and think that somebody read a scripture like this and take it out of context. Take the content out of context. And then say, man, all you got to do is ask God. He's going to give it to you. That's what the word says. That's worth screaming about. You got that right. You need to run next. When they tell you that, scream and then run. Because that's not what God is saying. We already talked about it. Your desires change. Your heart change when you're in God. You know that it's all about spiritual things. And there are people that are dying. We did the death. What was it? The death countdown or whatever that was. And somebody dies every 1 or 2 seconds. And either they're transitioning to hell or transitioning to paradise with God. And that's why when you understand a scripture like this, you realize, man, I need to talk to my mom. I need to talk to my brother. I need to talk to that coworker who I'm really close with. At least let me plant the seed. Maybe somebody else will water and God will give the increase. And when you're asking God things like that, then God say, that's what I want to do too. Well, let's finish with verse 17. These things I command you. It's a commandment. It's not a request. It's not a suggestion. It's a love fest. That you agape one another. And we'll pick up at verse 18 next Sunday. So if you would, just bow your heads quickly. As God has challenged us once again, each Sunday he challenges us to take our spiritual maturity to another level. God says, you don't want to be the same in 2017 as you were in 2016. We don't want 2016 to just flow right into 2017 and be a extension. We want there to be an improvement. We want to get closer to God. We want to commit to God. We want to sacrifice and let something go so that we can get closer to God. And then God wants us to operate in true love. no strings attached. With all our flaws, all our hang-ups, and all our issues, God says that you love one another as I've loved you. He reminds us married couples, with all the flaws and issues and hang-ups and idiosyncrasies, you better love your spouse as I have loved you. And no strings attached with that thing. Thank you, Lord, for the challenge. Maybe someone's here and they say, well, Pastor, I'm not connected to the vine. And you read John 15 and 5, where it says, apart from God, I can do nothing. Maybe you're out there spinning your wheels and you're wasting your time and wonder why nothing's happening, because you're not connected to the vine. You're not connected to Jesus Christ. You're not connected to God the Father. If that's you and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, elevate your hand. I'd like to pray for you. Say, Pastor, I've never been saved. I've never been rescued. Elevate your hand if that's you. Maybe you hear you say, Pastor, I just need to rededicate my life. I need to get reconnected. I've been disconnected from God. I've been disconnected from Christ. And I just need to get it together in 2017. Today, we're halfway through the first month of 2017. Please don't let it be an extension of 2016. If you need to rededicate this morning, elevate your hand. I love to pray for you. Maybe you're looking for a church home. Say, Pastor, I've been visiting. I just want to make it official. I'd like to be a member of South Bay Abundant Life Church. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Lord, we thank you and we bless you, Lord. We love you as you challenge us, Lord. It's amazing how you can challenge us and comfort us at the same time. But we thank you for it and we bless you for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we dismiss,